All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, looking at verses 33 to 39. We're going to finish up this chapter as we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter in the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings. And we're in the book of Exodus on Wednesdays. And Father, we look to you to speak to our hearts, and Lord, we look to you to just give us a timely word today. You brought us out today to hear this word. So, Lord, we pray that you would allow that word to be in our hearts, that we might not sin against you. And help us, Lord, to be doers of your word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 5, looking at verses 33 to 39, the title of this message is Old versus New. Old versus New. Now, there's a lot of talk today about whether the old ways are better than the new ones. Even in the church, this debate is going on. You have those who prefer the old ways of hymns and pipe organs and stained glass windows, while others prefer a more contemporary approach to worship with guitars and keyboards, drums, and praise choruses. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:9, he says that there is nothing new under the sun. And this debate on whether the old is better than the new is as old as time, because Jesus dealt with this subject in his day. In these verses, Jesus is going to use three parables or stories to show us his views on this age-old subject of whether the old is better than the new. Look at verses 33 to 35. Then they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink?" And he said to them, "Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days." Now the Pharisees, who were the conservative religious leaders of the day, used to fast every Monday and Thursday and pray at 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. They were wondering why the disciples of Jesus were feasting and why they were not fasting. And Jesus tells them in verse 35 that there will be a time of fasting after he is gone. Now, fasting is good for us to practice because it enables us to say no to our fleshly appetites and desires. Fasting is denying the physical to concentrate on the spiritual. How do we know when it's time for us to fast? How do we know when it's a good time to fast? When you can no longer say no to our fleshly appetites and desires. When you're struggling to say no to a boyfriend or a girlfriend. When you cannot say no to the buffet menu. When you are having a hard time saying no to the things in this life, it is time to fast. Fasting breaks the grip and the power our fleshly appetites have in our lives. And we need to also remember and keep in mind, when we do fast, watch out for a Pharisee kind of attitude of looking down on others because they aren't doing the things that you're doing. This is what was happening in these particular verses. Look at verse 36. Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. Now, the first parable or story he tells is the old garment speaks of the old religious system they were presently under. The new garment represents the age of grace that Jesus was instituting. In this verse, Jesus is also saying that you cannot mix the two either. They're incompatible. An attempt to mix the law and grace results in spoiling the two. An attempt to take a new piece of garment and sew it to an old one doesn't work because they don't match. In other words, Jesus would never tack on Christianity to Judaism. So Jesus is saying, I didn't come to patch up the old religious system. I came to do something entirely new. And I believe that God wants to do something entirely new in our lives as individuals and in our lives as a church. The question is, are we ready for that new work of God's Spirit to be done in our lives? Or are we going to still cling on to the old way of doing things? That's a question we have to search our own hearts about as we begin to go through this message. Now look at the second story he tells in verses 37 and 38. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. The second parable teaches the folly of putting new wine into old wineskins. Jesus was saying you can't put new wine into hardened old wineskins, because when the new wine begins to ferment, the old hardened structure cannot flex with it, causing the wineskin to burst and the new wine is lost. See, when people try to put a new moving of the Holy Spirit into an old structure, they end up not only quenching the wine of the Spirit, but blowing apart the structure in the process. This happens when churches and with individuals. I know two pastor friends of mine that were in traditional churches. Then a new work of God's Holy Spirit began to just stir up in their lives. But the old structure of the church was resistant to what was happening. And they tried to stay and try to work it out, but in staying, they were putting new wine into old wineskin, and finally it burst, and they left. It blew the structure apart in the process, because the churches they left were devastated. Because when the pastor left to do that new work that God wanted to do in his life, he took people with them and devastated the old structure. What happens to a church that they become an old wineskin? I believe that there's three things that they began to do and three things they did. Number one, they stopped relying on the Holy Spirit's help and started to rely on themselves, on their organization, on their programs and their structure. That's the first thing they began to do. The second thing, they started to trust in tradition more than the Lord. See, tradition is something that a church is doing that at one time was working, but it's not any longer. But the church continues to do it because they are hoping that it will work once again. So week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, wishing, hoping, and praying for the old days to return. And they never do. Then what happens is, number three, a hardening takes place. Over time, a hardening takes place and they become resistant to change, resistant to anything or anyone new, because they're looking for the old days to return. New pastor come in with the new wine of the Spirit of God in him, and he's ready to do new things. And those old structures say, oh, no, you don't, young fella. That's not going to happen here. And they hold on and they're resistant to change, showing that they are old wineskin. I was talking to a family member of mine some time ago, and they attend a church that the average age is 70 plus years old. And they said, well, you know, we want to reach this new generation. I said, do you really? Yeah, we want to reach the young folks. I said, really? And I just began to share some things that will really help to reach. Oh, no, no, no. That's not our church tradition. Our church traditional ways is this and that. I said, you're not ready to reach this generation. You want young people to come in and just get with this old structure, and they're not going to do it. They look at coming in here as a museum, or how church used to be done 50, 60 years ago. I said, they're not going to get down with that. They're not picking up what y'all putting down. Well, yeah, but we want to reach the young folk. No, you don't. No, you don't really. You really don't. And that's what happened. I see it happen all the time. It happened with two of my friends. It happens all the time. But this can happen to us as individuals as well. The Holy Spirit can begin to do a new work in our lives, and he begins to stir up joy and enthusiasm. But then what happens to us is the same thing that happened to Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, when the Spirit of God came upon him. It says afterwards that the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness, where he did battle with Satan and was tempted in trials and tough times. And what happened? God began to stir up a work in our own hearts The Spirit of God comes upon us and we're excited. Then all of a sudden, when we're driven into trials and situations and we're driven into some tough times, now all of a sudden we're like, whoa, I didn't bargain for this. And we burst and we give up and go back to the old ways where you come to church occasionally, put a dollar or two in the offering and just play the game with the Lord. And I've seen that folks, all of a sudden they just got excited. And I'm like, would you look at them? They're excited. And then all of a sudden when God said, oh boy, before you have a testimony, you need a test. And let me just send them into that season where they're tested. And all of a sudden they're like, whoa. I didn't bargain for this. And let me go back to the old ways where Satan wasn't bothering me like this. Where you pop in, make a guest appearance at church. Pop a dollar or two in the offering, if that. And just play the game. Play it safe. Please understand that God wants to do a new work in our lives. He doesn't want us to become hard and set in our walks with Him. He wants our walks to be new and fresh. He wants our lives to be filled with joy and excitement. The Lord doesn't want us to become old wineskins as individuals or as a church. So what happens if a church or an individual becomes hardened or an old wineskin? Are they doomed? No. I say this because the Greek word translated new in relation to wine is neos. But the word translated new, the Greek word translated new in relation to wineskin is kainos. And this word literally means to be renewed. See, in Bible days, wineskins were relatively expensive. So when they began to get hard or and you didn't have a lot of money to get a new one, you will soak the old one in water until the elasticity and the flexibility is returned. I find this amazing because the scriptures are likened unto water. In John 15:3, you are clean because of the word I've spoken unto you. Ephesians 5:26, washing her by the water of the word. Psalm 119:9, David said, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to the word? So the word of God is likened unto water. So how do we stay flexible and usable and contemporary in whatever it is the Lord might be doing in our lives, both as a church and individually? We soak ourselves not in traditionalism or denominationalism, but in the Word of God. If we make the Word of God a priority in our lives, the emphasis of our ministries, it will have a softening and a renewing effect upon our lives. But when the Bible is no longer has dominance in our lives as a church or as individuals, we replace it with man-centered programs and traditions and denominational expectations, a hardness will follow. And I've seen this in people's lives as individuals, and I've seen it in churches across this country. You know, I'm constantly asking myself, have we developed our own traditions as a church here? And I will say, yes, we have. But the next set of questions I have to ask ourselves as well is, are we becoming hard and stale? Are we still sensitive to the move of the Holy Spirit? Are we open to a new work of His Holy Spirit? Have we become an old wineskin as a church? I have to ask myself this. I am always asking the Lord, Lord, is what we are doing still working? Are we in line with what You are doing? And Lord, can we do it better? Is there a better way to reach this generation? How they reached the generation 50, 60 years ago are fine. Does that still work today? Or is there a better way to reach this generation today? I have to ask myself this and ask for our church. Lord, what are you wanting to do in the world today? Show us, Lord, so we can get behind what You are doing. I don't want it the other way around. Lord, this is what we are doing. So bless it. No. It should be, Lord, what are You doing? Show us so we can get behind You. My prayer as a church is, Lord, don't let us become an old wineskin. Lord, don't let us get old and set in our ways. Let us stay usable and flexible to the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is done as we soak ourselves in God's word. This is why we as a church, we teach the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse, book by book, from Genesis to Revelation, so we can just soak ourselves in the word of God as a church. And we need to determine in our minds and hearts that we're going to become people of the word. No longer are we going to give excuses why we can't be in the word. The only place a believer cannot stay, we cannot stay put. And the question is, are we stuck? Are we stiff and inflexible? Then it's a sign we need to soak ourselves in the word of God until we become flexible once again. Look at the third story he tells in verse 39. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. Now, the third parable teaches that no one, having drunk old wine, wants the new, because he says that the old is better. This is making a reference to how people are reluctant to trying something new. Just like I told you, a relative that I was talking to, they were reluctant to trying anything new. They just want this new generation, the young folks, as they say, the young folks to come in and get with what they got going. I said, are you willing to try this and try that? I remember talking to a pastor several years ago, wanted to reach a certain people group. And he was talking to me about it. And I said, okay, do you really want to reach them? I said, well, then you have to do this and do this and do this. He was like, oh, no, we ain't. I said, then you don't want to reach them then. Don't want to reach them. See, most folks don't want to try anything new. They don't want to try anything new. What's that? No, because they prefer the old, just like it says here in this verse. And you have people like this today. They live by this motto. If it is new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's definitely not new. Now, I've said this before, and it has some truth in it when it comes to doctrine and teaching. But when it comes to the work of the Spirit, we need to be open. And the way we stay open is by staying in God's word. I say this because a lot of bizarre and crazy things go on in the name of the Holy Spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. See, staying in the word of God gives us the boundary by which the Holy Spirit will operate. If you notice in the book of Acts in chapter 2, when the Spirit of God came upon the church, notice that Peter stood up and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he is saying what we're doing, this is where it says this in the word of God. The word of God is our boundary by which we operate, is by which the Spirit of God will operate. I remember talking to a guy sometime and said, brother, God is going to do things in the last days that's not in the word of God. I said, whoa, dude, whoa. I said, fall back a little bit. I said, how would you know whether it's of God? How would you know whether it's of Satan? How would you know whether it's just you? If we don't have the boundary of the word of God, how would we know? Every time they did something, they said, this is that, and they pointed to the scripture. And this is something, the scripture is the boundary by which the Holy Spirit works. I was talking to a guy on Facebook, a friend of mine. He said, well, that's putting God in the box. I said, well, God works in the box of the Bible. That's the box he works in. Because how would we know? How would we know Satan is not behind it if it's not in the word? How would we know that God is in it if it's not in the word? How would we know it's not ourselves just getting a little excited over what's going on? How do we know? We'd be able to say, this is that, and point to the word of God. And I've seen people like this all the time doing bizarre things in the name of the Holy Spirit that's not the Holy Spirit. Staying in the word gives us that boundary by which the Holy Spirit would operate. And the Holy Spirit would not operate outside of the boundary of the word of God. And this is why we must stay in God's word, so we can be vessels for the new wine of his Holy Spirit. But also to stay on the cutting edge of what God is doing in these last days we're living in. Now, if we say, well, you know, I already know the word, been in the word for years, I don't need to soak any longer, then you will miss out on being on the cutting edge of what God is doing today, and you will become an old wineskin, stiff, rigid, hard. And yes, it is great and awesome what God did yesterday. I love history. I love U.S. history. I love world history. I love church history. And I'm always amazed at the move of God's Spirit and what he's done throughout the ages and throughout the years. I love to see, to read about what he did through Jonathan Edwards in the early 1800s during the Great Awakening. Just by one sermon that he gave, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He read it like this, right before his face, and read it. Look, and read it. Revival broke out. Incredible. Matter of fact, it's considered one of the greatest messages ever given on American soil, and it was required reading in high schools across America for the longest. Matter of fact, a friend of mine who used to be here years ago, he was in school in the late 80s, and he still said it was required reading for them in California. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. God did a great work. Then in the 1850s, through Charles Finney, God did another great work of his Spirit. Then you got the Welch Revival, the 100-year revival, the Azusa Street Revival in the 1906. God did a tremendous work, and it's great and awesome what God did yesterday. But what is God doing today? That's the question we have to ask. Is God doing anything today? It's great to sing the old hymns. They're rich in tradition and theology and all kind of stuff. Are there no songwriters today? Keep in mind that the hymns that we love to fight over and divide the church over, they were the contemporary music of their day. And so is God not putting songs on folks' hearts today? What is God doing today? I want to get behind what he's doing today. I respect and I love and I honor what God did yesterday. But what is he doing today? I want to be a new wineskin so the fresh wine of his Holy Spirit can be poured out on us. That's what I want. It's awesome what he did yesterday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, what is he doing today? I love it. I love reading in the book of Acts how it said that David served God in his generation. And I always say, Lord, I want to serve you in my generation. God did great things through David's life. We read the Psalms and we read in 1st and 2nd Samuel and we read all those great things. That was great. What is God doing today in this 21st century? What does he want to do today? How does he want to reach this world today in our context? Are we still trying to grab old ways to try to reach new people? Is it, matter of fact, it's always been said, how's that working out for you? Is it working? And I'm like, Lord, what is it? What is it? As I look at the news and see the killings and see the stuff that's going on, I'm saying, Lord, how do we reach them? And people say, oh, this world is too bad. You know, they don't want nothing to do with gospel and Jesus Christ. Hey, whoa, that's not true. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. The Bible lets us know that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. So he said that there's a harvest for us to go out and bring in. Are we willing to bring it in? Or are we like, well, you know, that's them. I'll make sure, you know, I'm getting mine. You know, I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. We need to pray and say, God, what is it? What is it that you're doing so we can get behind it? Lord, let us be a new wineskin. Let us stay flexible and movable to your Spirit and what you're doing today. Help us to reach this generation for you. That is my constant prayer, that we will be a people that God can use today. Now, let me conclude with this. Yes, looking at things naturally, sometimes the old is better. When it comes to cars, the old ones made of steel are better than the new ones made of aluminum and plastic. Back in the day, those old cars, boy, they hit a pole. The pole came crashing down. That thing, that bumper barely had a scratch on it. Today, you lean up against a car, you got a dent in it, you got to pay $5,000 to get it plucked out, or you pluck the car and it's damaged. So in the natural, the old cars are better than the new ones. But in the spiritual realm, this is not the case. We don't want to become an old wineskin, hard and inflexible and rigid. We want to be a people in a church that soak ourselves in God's word so we can be ready and open for the new wine of his Holy Spirit to be poured out upon us. Finally, let me just say this. I believe this is going to be applicable to many of your lives, because I believe that there are some of you who have become an old wineskin in your marriage. You're hardened towards your spouse, inflexible and rigid when they try to touch you. And God can change you if you allow him to. He'll change you if you allow him to. Soak yourself in the word of God. Allow him to make you soft again. To make you flexible again. And there are others who have become an old wineskin in your relationship with God. Hardened towards God because he disappointed you in some kind of way. Not answered a prayer in your time. Or not giving you a certain job. And now you're hardened towards him. Inflexible toward his word and rigid when he tries to touch you with his Holy Spirit. And if this is you, then you need to repent of your attitude towards God. Because he wants the very best for your life. And you will later thank him for all the things he told you no for today. You will look back and say, oh, Lord, I'm glad I didn't walk down the aisle with that one. And you will thank him years to come for the things he's telling you no for today. But that attitude you need to repent of. Because he knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for me. And he allows those things because there's things or people in our lives that's going to keep us from being the new wineskin he wants us to become. And so he moves them out and we get mad and we stump. He moves us on from jobs. He keeps us from getting certain jobs. It reminds me in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, where all of a sudden Paul was about to go to a certain area, about to go to Asia. And all of a sudden they said that the Spirit forbid him to don't do it. He was like, whoa, you know, we ready to take this gospel. Don't do it. And I believe the Spirit of God is telling you not to do certain things and you pushing, you kicking, you upset because it didn't happen. Understand that the Lord knows what's best. You'll thank him later because he's saying they don't see it now, but they'll thank me later. And you would thank him later for the things he's telling you no today. Just keep that in mind. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the things you've spoken into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, forgive us becoming hard and rigid and an old wineskin. Lord, I pray that we will be flexible towards you, towards your word, and towards your spirit. Lord, I pray that our church will be new wineskin, that you will pour the new wine of your spirit in us and empower us and enable us, oh Lord, to reach this generation for you. May we serve you, Lord, in this generation as David served you in his. Help us, Lord. Use us. We need you so desperately. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.